This week's Parsha is Parsha's Toldos, and in Parsha's Toldos we have the story of the birth of Yaakov and Esav, and we'll pick up the story on chapter 25, Pasuk 28. There the Pasuk says, Vayehav Yitzchok as Esav. Yitzchok loved Esav, Kitzayit befiv, because game was in his mouth. Verivka oheves as Yaakov, and Rivka loved Yaakov. Rashi on the word kitzayit befiv, that game was in his mouth, Rashi brings two different interpretations. The first interpretation that Rashi brings is ketargumoy, as the Targum Unculus says, which means befiv shel Yitzchok, that trapping was in his mouth, means in the mouth of Yitzchok, meaning that the Targum Unculus on this pasuk says Uracham Yitzchok yos Esav, that Yitzchok loved Esav, arei mitzedei haviachel, because from his traps he used to eat, meaning that whatever Esav caught, any kosher animals that he caught, he brought and fed Yitzchok from that. Therefore, Yitzchok loved them, and Rivka loves Yaakov. The Cheskuni points out an interesting grammatical difference, that when it's written that Yitzchok loved Esav, it's written in the past tense. Vayehav is a past tense. He says, from here you learn that Yitzchok only loved them while he brought him the food. And when it's written that Rivka loves Yaakov, it's written Oheves in the present tense. Therefore, the Cheskuni says that Rivka always loved Yaakov. The Kliyokor adds another statement. The Kliyokor says that we have a rule, Kol Ahava Tluya Bedavor, any love that dependent on something, Botlo Dovor, Botlo Ahava, if you don't do the thing anymore, then the love is gone. And the Pasuk, when it is describing the love that Yitzchok had for Esav, is describing a reason why that love came. And the reason was Kitzayit Befiv, because Esav used to feed him. Comes out that when Esav did not feed him, then the love was not there, because it was a love dependent on him being fed. But Rivka loved Yaakov for no reason at all, just because he was Yaakov. Because in the love that Rivka had for Yaakov, it's not written for any special reason. She loved them no matter what. From the fact that all these Mefarshim claim that Yitzchok loved Esav only because Esav brought food to his mouth, meaning that Yitzchok wanted to eat food and needed to eat food, Devan Ezra on Pasuk Lamed Dalet concludes and deduces a new idea that it is not written by the other Mefarshim. Devan Ezra goes on the Pasuk Vayives Esav es Habechora, that Esav debased and belittled the right of the firstborn, because Esav sold the right of the firstborn for a bowl of lentils and a little piece of bread. Devan Ezra is wondering, how is it possible that Esav is a very shrewd man? He knows how to do business deals. He knows how to fool people. And yet, Esav sells the right of the firstborn, and everything that is going to be inherited by the firstborn is given over to Yaakov. How is it possible that Esav would make such a bad deal by selling the right of the firstborn to Yaakov when there is a lot of money involved? We know that Avraham Avinu was a wealthy man, as we could see from the story of Chaya Sarah, when Eliezer came to meet Rivka, how much wealth he brought. And Avraham Avinu gave all this wealth to Yitzchak, as it's written on chapter 25, Pasuk number 5, Va'iten Avraham es kol asher loy leYitzchak, that Avraham Avinu gave everything that he had to Yitzchak, meaning that all the wealth of Avraham was given while Avraham was still alive to Yitzchak. Then obviously Yitzchak acquired all this wealth. If that is so, how is it possible that Esav would sell it for a bowl of lentils? Therefore, the Devan Ezra concludes that Yitzchak Avinu lost all the money that was given by Avraham, and he actually was a pauper. Before we continue to explain the Devan Ezra, we have to make you aware of a direct contradiction to what the Ibn Ezra is now trying to say. Meaning, the Ibn Ezra is trying to say that Yitzchak was poor. He was very poor, as we're going to see soon the proofs that the Ibn Ezra brings to this idea. But on chapter 26, Pasuk number 12, it's written that Yitzchak goes to Plishtim, and there, Vayizra Yitzchak, Ba'aretz Ahi, Yitzchak planted in that land, Vayimtza Bashon Ahi, Meo Shearim, and he was able to find on that land 100-fold. In other words, whatever he planted grew to 100 times. Vayivarcheu Hashem, Hashem blessed him. And the apostle continues to tell you how wealthy and great Yitzchak was. Vayigdal Oish, the man became great. Vayelech Haloich, Vegodel, and kept becoming greater. Ad Kid Gadol Meoid, until he became very great. Vahi Loi, and he acquired Mikne Tzoin, Umikne Bokor, herds of cattle and herds of sheep, Vavudo Rabo, and much enterprise and a lot of work. Vaikanu also pleased him, and the pleased him became jealous on him, meaning that he was so exceedingly wealthy that people became jealous. And this is the parsha, the portion that's directly written after this statement, Va'ivas Esav Sabachoira, that Esav shunned the right of the firstborn. You see clearly that Yitzchak was a very wealthy man. The Ibn Ezra says that this was when Yitzchak was young, before Yitzchak had any children. And the proof, really, you could say, that by the story of Yitzchak going down to Plishtim and the story described on chapter 26, Yitzchak tells Rivka that she should tell the people that she is his sister, because he was afraid if he told them that Rivka was his wife, they would kill Yitzchak. If she would have children, obviously the people would not even think that this is not his wife, and they would not kill him. Also, the children are not mentioned in the parsha, and it would be more difficult to go with the ruse if you have children around. Therefore, the Ibn Ezra deduces that this story happened before this story on this parsha, meaning chapter 26 happened even before Rivka and Yitzchak had children. And at that point, he was exceedingly wealthy. But when he got older, Yitzchak lost all the money that his father gave him and all the money that he made in Plishtim. And the proofs that Ibn Ezra brings are very telling. First, the proof is from this pasuk that we just mentioned, that Yitzchak loved Esav kitzayit befiv, because he used to bring food to his mouth. And as we mentioned, that is the only reason that he loved them, because he brought food. And if a person is normally used to eating food, obviously bringing food is no big deal. Then how can you say that Yitzchak loved Esav because he used to bring him food? If Yitzchak was used to eating good food all the time, that alone should not be a reason to love Esav. Second, he says, from the fact that Esav shunned the right of the firstborn, shows that there is no money involved, because if there will be money involved, believe me, Esav would never shun the right of the firstborn. Third, he says that on chapter 27, pasuk number 4, when Yitzchak wants to bless Esav, he tells Esav, "V'ato, and now, son nochelecho, sharpen your gear, teliecho, your sword, v'kashtecho, and your bow, v'tzei asada, and go out in the field, v'tzudol itzayid, and catch game for me, v'aseilei matamim, and make me delicacies, kasher ohavti, as I love, v'avioli, and bring me, v'chelo, and I eat, bavur tevorecho, so I should be able to bless you before I die." You see that Yitzchak wanted to eat delicacies, and the only way that he could eat these delicacies is if Esav goes hunting, because we see that Rivka Imenu eventually takes, according to Rashi, the two sheep that was designated for her ksuba, which technically are the only two sheep that's left over, and she makes those delicacies out of the sheep. We see that you could make these delicacies out of any kind of animal, then why is Yitzchak telling Esav to go out and hunt something in order to bring him delicacies? If you are a wealthy man, tell him to go to the kitchen and bring me some delicacies, and I will bless you. You see clearly that Yitzchak at that point doesn't have any money. Therefore, he has to request and ask Esav to go and hunt in order for him to be able to have delicacies. The fourth question of the Eben Ezra is that on chapter 27, pasuk number 15, it says, "Vatikach Rivka et bigda Esav bna gadol." Rivka took the clothes of Esav, her older son, hachamudois, that are desirable or that are clean, ashrita babois, that she has in the house, vatalbeshes Yaakov bna katan, and she dressed up Yaakov, her younger son. The Eben Ezra seems to think that this is regular, nice clothing. He asks a question: if they were wealthy, how come only Esav has nice clothing? How come Yaakov doesn't have nice clothing? And the fifth question of the Eben Ezra is that when Yaakov Avinu was sent out and he has the dream and he prays to Hashem on chapter 28, pasuk number 20, he says that if Hashem will be with me and protect me on the road that I'm going, v'nosan li lechem lechol, he'll give me bread to eat, uveget lilboish, and clothes to wear, it seems to imply that even this Yaakov Avinu did not have. Because Yaakov Avinu is praying to Hashem that if he gives him bread to eat and clothes to wear, then he will praise Hashem. The Eben Ezra says, how is it possible that Rivka and Yitzchak send away Yaakov on the road to go to Lavan and they don't give him any money, that Yaakov has to pray for food to eat and clothes to wear? If he would have money, then he wouldn't pray for these things. Obviously, he went without anything. How is it possible that he went without anything? Must be that Yitzchak and Rivka were very poor at this point. And the final proof of the Eben Ezra is from next week's Parsha, where we see that Yaakov wants to marry one of the daughters of Lavan and he doesn't have money. Lavan tells him that you are able to work 7 years instead of the dowry that you're supposed to give. How is it possible that Rivka Imenu loves her son so much and she finds out that he has to work for 7 years in order to get married, that she shouldn't send money in order to alleviate his work and to get him to come home sooner? Must be that Rivka Imenu did not have any money to give Yaakov. How can that be? The only way it could be is that if Yitzchak lost all his money. Then the Eben Ezra gets philosophical and he says, are you going to ask me for what purpose did Hashem take away all the money from Yitzchak? The Eben Ezra says, maybe you want to ask also how come Hashem took away his eyesight? Meaning that in beginning of chapter 27, pasuk number 1, the pasuk says, Vayikizaken Yitzchak, it was when Yitzchak became older, Vatichenu Einav Mirois, that his eyes became dimmed from seeing, meaning that Hashem took away Yitzchak's eyesight. The Eben Ezra means to say that in the same way we don't know the reason why Hashem took away Yitzchak's eyesight, we also don't know the reason why Hashem took away his money. And the Eben Ezra continues and says, don't push me to make a drash on that, because the fact that these things happened, yesh lo soit, there is a huge secret, ve'ein lanu lechapes, we should not seek out the reason, ki amku machshevos Hashem, because the thoughts of Hashem are very deep, ve'ein koyach b'das ha'odom la'avinam, there is no way for a human being to understand what Hashem wants. Therefore, the Eben Ezra says that we don't know the reason why he became a pauper. Even though the Eben Ezra says that we should not look for a reason why he lost his money and why he became blind, we know that the Mefarshim bring a lot of reasons why Yitzchak became blind. In the same way that Mefarshim give reasons why Yitzchak became blind, I also took the liberty to give an answer how come Yitzchak lost his money, and with that answer we could also understand how come Yitzchak also became blind. I wanted to say that the reason that he became a pauper is because Hashem needed to make the prophecy start from Yitzchak Avinu, meaning that in the Bris Ben Absarim, covenant between parts, on Parshas Lech Lecha, chapter 15, where Avraham Avinu was told about his children, it's written, Yodor Teda, you should surely know, Kigeye Zaracho, the changes will be your children, Be'eretz Lo Elohem, in a land that is not theirs, Vavodum, they'll be enslaved, Ve'ini Oysom, they'll be afflicted, Arba Me'oshona, 400 years, and we know that the Jewish people were only in Egypt for 210 years. And Rashi explains that the 400 years actually started from the birth of Yitzchak, that the prophecy kicked in as soon as there was Zaracho, as soon as there was a child to Avraham, as soon as Yitzchak was born. Therefore, Yitzchak's life has to be part of the 400 years that is written that Hashem will enslave and afflict them for 400 years. Therefore, maybe Yitzchak needed to be afflicted, that if Yitzchak would have a pleasant life all the way through, the prophecy V'ini Oysom Arba Me'oshona, that will be afflicted 400 years, would not really be taking effect. Therefore, Hashem had to cause Yitzchak some pain by losing his money, which is Vavodum, they'll be enslaved. Because when you have money, you are your own boss. When you don't have money, then somebody else is your boss. In a way, you are into servitude to somebody else. You are technically enslaved. Or by taking away his sight, they will be physically afflicted. And also, when you are blind, you are totally dependent on somebody else. Therefore, it could be that at that point, it is technically considered vavodum, that you are enslaved because you can't do things by yourself anymore. Somebody else has to help you do things, and that was part of the 400 years. That could be the reason why Hashem caused Yitzchak to lose the money and why Hashem caused Yitzchak to become blind. But the Evan Ezra clearly says that this is Sod Gadol, this is a huge secret. In truth, all the Evan Ezra's proofs are not necessarily proofs, meaning that the fact on this week's Parsha that Yitzchak loved Esav because he brought game to his mouth, everybody knows that game meat, in other words, meat that you trap, tastes different than meat that you grow. For example, wild turkeys will taste different than homegrown turkeys. Or wild chickens, meaning the chickens that roam free, will taste different than chickens that are grown at home. And a lot of times, the wild things you catch, you can't domesticate, you can't find them at home. For example, deer. You can't find deer at home, but when you hunt a deer and you serve deer, that is probably tastier than regular food. Therefore, even if we say that Yitzchak was extraordinarily wealthy, we could still say that he loved Esav because Esav used to bring him game food, meaning that he had the special food that he couldn't get usually by going to the market or going to his stable and pick up. Those food Esav used to catch and bring to his father. Therefore, his father loved them specially for this food. The second question, how can Esav shun the Bechora, shun the right of the firstborn if there was enough money? Esav could have just shunned the part of the Bechora that was spiritual. Because as we remember, Rashi says that they were fighting inside the womb. Rashi in one interpretation says that they were fighting regarding Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. They were fighting regarding this world and the world to come. Esav, when he was giving over the right of the firstborn, was only giving up the right of the firstborn in the world to come, not in this world. The third question the Evan Ezra says about the Matamim, meaning how come Yitzchak doesn't send Esav just to get food that he has and make delicacies for him? Why does he tell him to go hunt and make delicacies? The answer will be the same answer as we mentioned that the reason that Yitzchak loved Esav is because Esav brought game food. Here too, Yitzchak wanted Esav to bring game food, like that his spirit will be gladdened and he'll be able to bless Esav if greater intent. The other question about the clothing, that Rivka took the clothing of Esav and dressed Yaakov in order for Yaakov to go in. How come Yaakov doesn't have his own clothing? We could give two answers. One, we could say that really Yaakov had his own clothing. But nonetheless, Rivka Imenu was very careful to put Esav's clothing on top of Yaakov. Because since Yaakov was impersonating Esav, it is not just to come in with nice clothing. You have to go in specially if Esav's clothing. Or we could answer that Chamudo doesn't mean nice clothing. It means Shechomat min Nimrod, that Esav took this clothing from Nimrod. This clothing were one of a kind. According to the Medrash, this is the clothing that Hashem made for Adam HaRishon after the sin. And that clothing went to Noah. And eventually Nimrod got it. And Esav killed Nimrod and took it from Nimrod. Comes out that these are irreplaceable clothing, that Yaakov Avinu could have plenty suits, but he doesn't have this clothing that are chamudois, that are desirable, because this is one of a kind. The other question, how is it possible that Yaakov was sent away without money? The Medrash clearly says that after Yaakov Avinu ran away, Esav sent Eliphaz, his son, to chase after Yaakov. Eliphaz was able to overtake Yaakov. Eliphaz comes to Yaakov with a dilemma. Yaakov was Eliphaz's rabbi, Eliphaz's teacher. Eliphaz didn't want to kill Yaakov, but he comes to Yaakov and says that I'm required to kill you because I'm required to keep the mitzvah of kibud av va'em, of honoring my father and my mother. And my father Esav told me to kill you. Yaakov Avinu tells him that you are not required to kill me, and I will give you a legal loophole, because technically a person who is poor is considered as he would have been dead, because when a person is poor, nobody asks for his opinion, nobody consults him, he is like a non-entity, therefore technically he is considered as dead. Yaakov gives to Eliphaz a technical legal out that he'll be able to fulfill his father's directive of killing him and also maintain him alive. How? That he, Yaakov, will give all his money to Eliphaz. If he gives all his money and all his possessions to Eliphaz, he will be poor. And if he is poor, he is technically, legally considered as dead. If he's technically considered as dead, then Eliphaz technically fulfilled his father's obligation that his father told him to kill Yaakov. Comes out, according to this Medrash, Yaakov left with a huge fortune, but that fortune was given up to Eliphaz. Therefore, when he gets to pray to Hashem, he only prays for lechem lechoil ubegad lilbosh, just for bread to eat and clothes to wear. But not that he didn't leave with money. He left with money, but Eliphaz took all the things away from him voluntarily. And the last question of the Ben Ezra, that how is it possible if Yitzchak and Rivka had money, that they shouldn't send money to Yaakov in order to alleviate Yaakov's working for 7 years? It could be that Yaakov didn't want to tell his mother where he is because he was afraid of Esav. He was afraid that if Esav finds out where he is, he's going to come to kill him. Therefore, Yaakov didn't send any message to his mother that he's working for Lavan because he was afraid that Esav is going to find out. But nonetheless, according to the Ben Ezra, Yitzchak was poor. Therefore, Yitzchak loved Esav kitzayit befiv, because he brought food to his mouth. One final note on the Ben Ezra, that according to the Ben Ezra's opinion, that Yitzchak became a pauper and he didn't have any money, that answers the question that Meforshim asked of what happened to all the people that Abraham and Sarah converted. Rashi writes down, "Vesanefesh asherasu b'choron," and the souls they made in Choron, that Avraham Avinu was converting the men, and Sarah Imenu was converting the women. Whatever happened to all those people? Where did they go? And the answer could be that as soon as Yitzchak didn't have any money to support them, each one went their own way. None of them stayed together with Yitzchak, and eventually they became totally assimilated. In an interesting twist, you could say that could also be the reason why Yitzchak Avinu became poor. Because the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, says, Tanu Rabbanan, and the rabbis say, Ein mekablim gerim, that we do not accept converts b'mois Moshiach, in the time of Moshiach. The Gemara continues, Kayoitze boy, in the same way, lo kiblu gerim, they did not accept converts, lo b'mei David, not in the days of David HaMelech, velo b'mei Shlomo, and not in the days of Shlomo HaMelech. And Mefarshim explained that the reason is because people who converted in those times converted for an ulterior motive. Since the days of David and Shlomo, the Jewish people ruled the world. They were the aristocracy. They were the elite. Therefore, anybody who converted, it was not known their true intent, and it was supposed that they converted in order to become part of the elite, part of the aristocracy, and it was not a conversion for the sake of God. Therefore, they did not accept any converts in those days. It could be that since there were so many converts from the days of Avraham Avinu, Hashem wanted people to know that they really did not convert for the right purpose. That as soon as Yitzchak became poor, they all left and went their separate ways, or went back to their tradition. Then you clearly see that the only reason that they got to Abraham, or they were converted by Abraham, was because Abraham's position of being a Nasi, being a leader amongst the nation, and also Abraham's wealth. As soon as they have a little trouble, they stop being converts and they go back to what they were before. Sefer Pardas Yosef interprets that when it says here that Yitzchak loved Esav, kitzayit befiv, because game was in his mouth, because Esav was a hunter and he was feeding Yitzchak from what he hunted, that the pasuk is explaining why really Yitzchak loved Esav. Meaning that Sefer Pardas Yosef does not agree with Devin Ezra that Yitzchak was poor and he loved them because he needed food. And Sefer Pardas Yosef also doesn't agree if what I answered, that the reason that he loved the food, even though he had meat, is because it was game food. In other words, wild food tastes better than regular food. Because Sefer Pardas Yosef is bothered that we are talking about Yitzchak Avinu. We are talking about a spiritual person. A spiritual person would not love somebody specifically because it gives them physical pleasures. There must be a different reason, a spiritual reason, why Yitzchak loved Esav. And he gives a beautiful answer, but before we give his answer, I want to explain a Gemara like that his answer will be obvious. The Gemara is in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kof Nun Vav Amud Aleph, 156a, where the Gemara there is discussing how the luminaries, how the astrological signs and the astrological planets and the stars influence a person's behavior. In other words, that a person has a predisposition of behavior depending under which star he is born and depending which day of the week he is born, and the Gemara there lists each one separately. The Gemara there says, in the name of Rab Chanina, Hai man de bemadim, that anybody who is born during the hours of Mars, meaning where the planet Mars is predominant, Yehei gvar ashidoma, will be a man who spills blood. Because Mars is considered the red planet, and in Hebrew it's called Madim, from the word Adom, from the word red, and because it's considered the red planet, therefore, he's going to have a predisposition for spilling blood. meaning that he is technically going to be a murderer. Omar Avash, or Avash says, don't think that just because a person is born under the planet Mars, that automatically it means that he is going to become a murderer. He still has choices regarding what he wants to do. Meaning that somebody who is destined to spill blood in some way should try to be e-umana. He should either become a bloodletter, e-ganova, or he will become a highway robber who kills, e-tabacha, or he'll become a shoichet, somebody who slaughters animal, e-moihalo, or he'll become a moil. In other words, since he has a predisposition to spilling blood, he should channel that predisposition of spilling blood to something good. Meaning that you don't have to become a murderer just because you like blood. You could become a doctor that will cut people in order to save them. Or you could become a shoichet that will slaughter animals in order to feed people. Or you could become a moel, a person who will circumcise in order to make the mitzvah. You have your choice what you're going to do with that predisposition that Hashem gave to you. According to this, we could understand what Sefer Pardas Yosef means very well. Because Rashi, on the Pasuk of the description of the birth of Esav, which is in Pasuk 25, the Pasuk there says, Vayetze Horisho and Admoini, that the first one came out red, Kuloi Kaderes Seyar, completely like a hairy mantle, Vayikru Shmoi Esav, and they called them Esav, from the word made. But Rashi explains from the Medrash Rabbe Samach Gimel Simen Ches, that what does it mean, Admoini? What is the meaning that he came out red? Rashi says, Simen Hu, this is a clear sign, Sheyhei Shoifer Damim, that he'll be a blood spiller. So according to this comes out that Esav had a predisposition to be a blood spiller. He had a character inside him that he was going to be a blood spiller. And Yitzchak was always worried about this character trait. But as soon as Yitzchak saw that he's using these character traits in order to hunt animals, but not only to hunt animals, to bring those animals to his father in order to make the mitzvah of kibbut av vaem, then Yitzchak realized that this must be a very good child, that he's taking his bad characters that Hashem gave him, the character to spill blood, as a child that is born under the Mars sign, and he's using that character to do mitzvahs, he's using that character to hunt and bring to his father food. Therefore, Vayehav Yitzchak as Esav. Clearly, the meaning of the Pasuk means, Vayehav Yitzchak as Esav. Yitzchak loved Esav. Why did he love Esav? Kitzayit befif, because he hunted for his mouth. Meaning that he used the character of being red, the character of being a murderer, in order to hunt for the mouth of Yitzchak, in order to do with it the mitzvah of kibbut av vaem, honoring your father. For that, Yitzchak loved Esav. I wanted to answer that the Torah here is explaining why Yitzchak loved Esav, meaning that the Torah is trying to answer a very strong question: how come Yitzchak did not use his divine prophecy, his Ruach HaKodesh, to realize that Esav is not behaving properly? What caused Yitzchak not to see? And this is based on the Kli Yakor, on chapter 27, Pasuk number 3, where there Yitzchak is asking Esav to go hunt, and there it's written, Vata nasa chelecho, go take your tools, taliecho, your sword, v'kashtecho, your bow, v'tzei asada, and go in the field, v'tzuda li tzayda, and go hunt for me a hunt. Rashi makes a note from the Medrash, and he says, Mino hefker, that you should come hunt from ownerless animals. In other words, Li, make sure it's good enough for me, Valomina Gezel, and not from stolen animals. That Yitzchak told Esav before he gives him a blessing to make sure you hunt, but you only hunt from ownerless animals and you do not steal in order to feed me. The Kli Yakor asks, how come only here is where Yitzchak decides to warn Esav not to steal? we know that Yitzchak was eating all these years from the food of Esav, as the pasuk says that Yitzchak loved Esav kitzayit befif, that he was always eating the food of Esav. How come just here is where Yitzchak decides to tell Esav to make sure that this is not stolen? Another question my Rosh Hashiva, the Vilna Rav, Rabbi Zriel Yehuda Leibovich Zatzal asks, in Pasuk number 5 it's written, Vayelech Esav Asada, Esav went to the field, lots of tzait, to go hunt game, Lahavi to bring. Rashi is bothered, what does it mean to bring? If you're going to hunt, obviously you are going to bring. Rashi answers that im lo yimtza tzait, that if he's not going to find game, in other words, he's not going to find ownerless food, Esav decided, yavo min hagezel, he'll bring from what he stole. The Vinerov asks, we know that Esav was exceedingly careful about kibbut avvehem, of honoring his father, and here his father makes a special request that he shouldn't steal the food, and Esav already puts in his mind that he's going to steal the food. How is it possible that he should make this decision, specifically when his father tells him, don't steal the food for what you're bringing me? The Kliyokor answers that the whole reason for Yitzchak asking Esav to go hunt and make him food is because Yitzchak wanted to bless Esav. And Yitzchak knew that in order to bless Esav a good bracha, he is required to have Hashra'as Hashchina, the divine presence resting on him. Like that, the brachas will come directly as a nevuah, as a prophecy from Hashem. Also, the Kliyokor says, we know Rashi brings down that this day was a very special day, that this day was Pesach. As a matter of fact, on Pasuk number 9, Rivka Imenu tells Yaakov, Leich no alatzoin, please go to the sheep, Vekach no misham, and take me from there. Shnei gedoy izim toivim, two choice young goats, ve'ese oiso matamim lovicha, and I'll make delicacies to your father Asher Ohev that he likes. Rashi brings the Midrash that says that that day was a very special day. It was Pesach, and she wanted to make one for Korban Pesach and one for delicacies. And the Baal Turim actually says that both of them were for sacrifices. One was for Korban Pesach, and one was for Korban Chagiga, the feast offering we brought on holidays. Comes out that Yitzchak Avinu wanted to bring a sacrifice. He wanted to enjoy this special festive Korban. And by Esav going to hunt, it was going to be as a Korban Pesach, as a Passover offering. And by Yitzchak bringing a Korban Pesach, then he would get close to Hashem, and Hashem will make sure that his divine presence would rest on Yitzchak. And since this is going to be a korban, a sacrifice, regarding a sacrifice, we have a special commandment that we are not allowed to bring stolen sacrifices, because on Vayikra chapter 1, pasuk number 2, it says, Adam ki yakriv mikem korban l'Hashem. If a man will bring a sacrifice to Hashem. But the question is, why does the Torah call it in the language of Adam? And the Mefarshim explain that the Torah wants you to be specifically careful not to steal, meaning that the Torah wants to compare every person who brings a sacrifice to Adam, the same way that Adam did not steal because the whole world was his. It was impossible for him to steal from anybody else. So too, you should make sure when you bring a sacrifice that you do not steal. We see that you have to be very careful not to steal when you are dealing with a sacrifice. And regarding the Korban Pesach, continues the Kliyokor, on Shemos chapter 12, Pasuk number 21, there it says, Mishchu, draw forth, ukhu lochem, tzoil mishpechoiseichem, and buy for yourself a sheep for a family, and slaughter the Pesach. You see clearly that you're required to buy, that you should not steal, because it says lochem for you, it has to be yours, it cannot be stolen. And since now it was going to be a Korban Pesach which has two prohibitions against stealing, therefore Yitzchok wanted to stress that this has to be clearly not stolen. So Yitzchok wanted, through the Korban, through getting closeness of Hashem, he will have Ashras Hashchina, because Yitzchok realized that he hasn't had the Ashras Hashchina for a long time, and he wants now to bless Esav. So therefore, he's desirous to have Ashras Hashchina. He wants to have divine prophecy in order to bless Esav. Therefore, specifically, he told Esav, be very careful not to take from stolen items, because a korban, you have to be very careful that it should not be from stolen items. Therefore, said the Klei Yakar, Hashem Yisborach set it up that Rivka will hear what is happening with Esav, meaning that Hashem gave the Nevuah to Rivka to hear what Yitzchak said to Esav, in order for Yitzchak not to be nichshol, not to stumble on bringing a korban from stolen items. Therefore, Rivka tells Yaakov to make the food, and as soon as Yaakov makes the food, Yitzchak gets divine prophecy, and when Yitzchak gets divine prophecy, he's able to bless Yaakov completely. The Klei Yakar continues and says that you see that as soon as Esav walks in, on Pasuk number 33, it's written, Vayechrad Yitzchak Charodo Gedoilo, that Yitzchak trembled, a great trembling. And Rashi explains, why did he tremble so much? Rashi says that Ro Gehenem Psucho Mitachtov, that Yitzchak saw the Gehenem opened up underneath Esav. Therefore, Yitzchak realized that Esav is an evil person, meaning that only now that Yitzchak got the divine prophecy because he ate from the food of Yaakov, Yitzchak realized that Esav is evil, and he realized that Gehenem is open underneath Esav. And the Klei Yakar goes on saying, you never see Yitzchak eating from the food of Esav. True that Esav brings him food, but Hashem protects Yitzchak that Yitzchak should not eat from a stolen sacrifice, from a stolen korban. The Vinerov explains that that is exactly the reason why, even though Esav was told not to take from stolen items, Esav has no choice and he has to bring from stolen items. Meaning that since Esav knew that his father's intention was to get Hashras Hashchina, and if he brings him proper food, not from stolen animals, then Yitzchak is going to get Hashras Hashchina, the divine presence. Once Yitzchak would have gotten the divine presence, then Yitzchak would have seen right through Esav. His charade would have been over, as it actually happened once Yitzchak ate from the food that Yaakov brought him. That Esav's charade was over because he saw the Gehenem opened underneath Esav. Therefore, Esav already decided, when Yitzchak told him, don't take from stone food, that he is definitely going to take from stone food. According to this, I wanted to say that this is exactly what the Pasuk is meant here. The Pasuk here says, Vayav Yitzchak as Esav, Yitzchak loved Esav, and the question is, how is it possible that Yitzchak is not able to look right through Esav's charade, right through Esav, and realize that he's a crook? And the answer is, Kitzayit Befiv, because Esav was feeding Yitzchak, and when Esav fed Yitzchak, Esav fed him from stolen food. Since Esav fed him stolen food, Yitzchak lost his prophecy. If Yitzchak lost his prophecy, obviously he cannot see that Esav is evil. Therefore, the Torah is explaining why Vayav Yitzchak as Esav. Why did Yitzchak love Esav? Kitzayit Befiv, because Esav was the one always feeding Yitzchak. Since Esav was the one always feeding Yitzchak, therefore he couldn't tell that he was evil. Therefore, he loved him. From here we see that even if we have a predisposition for bad characters, we are still able to channel that character for the good and do the right thing. also we see how important it is to be careful about the property of others, that if you misappropriate the property of others, then you lose the Shekhinah. So Hashem is Baruch should help that should be very careful about the property of others. We should change our bad characters and channel them for the good. If we do that, we'll merit to have Moshiach come, we'll merit to have Ashras HaShchinah, Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, and we'll merit to have all the brachas that Yaakov received. B'mhera b'yameinu, Amen.